The number of kids sent to youth prison from Cook County declined dramatically between 1997 and 2004. According to a new report out today from the Annie E. Casey Foundation, that's thanks to a cluster of reforms that divert youth away from pretrial detention and into more community-oriented forms of supervision. Jeffrey Butts is a research fellow at the University of Chicago's Chapin Hall Center for Children. He's looked at the numbers behind the report and done some crunching of his own. He says policy reforms are only part of the reason for the decrease.
The decline we're seeing in general, juvenile crime especially, has been a social phenomenon, a general phenomenon due to a lot of factors other than policy interventions, but it certainly contributed.
Now, the Casey program seems to focus a lot on keeping kids out of these pretrial detention facilities, keeping them out of jail before they go to trial. What is the thinking behind that?
Well, first you should realize that only one in five juvenile delinquency cases involves the use of secure detention. So focusing on detention is only going to affect some of the crime problem. But detention itself tends to be overused. It's the one place where a policymaker, a local official, a judge can be sure that the youth will be under control for at least some time. So the danger is that we use detention as a first response rather than a last resort. And the Casey Foundation is focused on maintaining an effective but rational use of detention, since it's the most expensive piece of the juvenile justice system.
Expensive and also perhaps leads to worse outcomes down the line, they're suggesting.
Well, it can't. It's a gamble to take a young person, 13, 14, 15 years old, and lock them up to give them a jumpsuit, put them behind a locked door, is a risk. You are affecting that young person's life, their future. It can have negative consequences, and so we only do it when the risks of not doing it outweigh the risks of doing it.
And can you think of a few examples of these detention alternatives that the Casey Foundation is touting and that Cook County has put into place?
Sure. Detention is not supposed to be for punishment. The young person has not been to court yet, has not been proven to have committed a crime. So we don't put youth in detention to punish them for a crime. We put them in detention to make sure that they appear in court and that the public is safe and that they are safe. Alternatives can involve things as simple as electronic monitoring, the ankle bracelet people have seen on television. It can also involve a drop-in center where a young person is told, after school, you come here to this facility at 4 o'clock and you stay here until 9 o'clock. And that sometimes interrupts the main time for juvenile crime. So having control over their day is sometimes more important than having control over their physical body. You don't need to lock them up to reduce the chances that they'll be involved in crime.
Now, this report outlines trends up to about 2004 in terms of the number of juveniles headed to state-run youth prisons. What does it suggest in terms of the present and the immediate future for policy implications?
Well, controlling the use of detention is one of the main goals of any good juvenile justice policy, because it's easy to let it get out of control, where people use detention as a first response to all cases. And I've heard some judges who are not behaving properly, say things like, I want to give this kid a, quote, taste of the system. So they actually use a short term in detention to get a young person's attention, which is entirely inappropriate. The policy implications of controlling detention are that it frees up resources to have a good juvenile justice system overall. Only one in five juvenile delinquency cases involves detention, but the cost of detention can easily outstrip your budget if you're a juvenile justice policymaker.
Can we expect more of the same? Could these reforms, if they seem to be working, is it reasonable to expect that that's going to continue?
Well, we don't really know the direct connection between policy reforms like this Detention Alternatives Initiative and the crime rate. Anyone who started a program in the mid-1990s looks like a success. Juvenile crime rates have fallen across the country for the last 10 years until the most recent years. But between 1994 and 2004, juvenile crime rates, especially the rates of violence, just plummeted. So if you started a day camp to give youth trumpet lessons in 1994, you have a very good success rate because crime came down in your community. Now, the use of detention when it falls is significant because even when the crime rate comes down, those detention beds, that resource still exists. So it's very tempting for policymakers, for judges, for police to fill their detention center with whatever youth are available to them. So in 1994, you'd only lock up your homicides and your robbery cases. By 2004, when the violence rates have come down, now you're looking at burglaries and thefts and minor drug possession to fill up your detention space. So the demand for detention is consistent. If the use of detention falls, it's a significant outcome. The question is, what happens when the crime rates turn around as they are right now, and will the use of detention remain rational?
You mentioned that the crime rates are turning around right now. What's the evidence for that?
Across the country, crime rates seemed to bottom out in 2004. We have to rely on the FBI to do national crime trends, and their data for 2006 came out this week. And the numbers show a big increase. The arrests of juveniles for the violent index crimes, which are homicide, robbery, rape, and aggravated assault, increased from about 91,000 in 2004 to just over 100,000 nationwide in 2006. There was a more than a 30% increase in juvenile robberies, which is the biggest increase we've seen in 2 years in quite some time.
So crime rates seem to be rebounding. First of all, do we know anything about the local picture, or those are just national numbers for now?
That's the national number. It is up slightly in the Chicago area. I'll just give you the overall homicide number. During the early 1990s, the rate of homicides in Chicago, that's the number of homicides reported per 100,000, was routinely above 30. It peaked in 1994 at just over 33 per 100,000. From 1994 through 2004, it dropped to 15, so by half. Between 2004 and 2006, it's gone up, but just slightly, just to over 16. So we're seeing an increase, but we're nowhere near where we were 10 years ago.
Well, now that the trend is going the other way, apparently, what questions does that raise for you in terms of juvenile justice reform?
As crime goes up, the politics of juvenile crime begin to heat up. I've been in the juvenile crime field for some time and have been through a number of these cycles. And the last time we had rising numbers, a lot of crazy things happened. Policymakers need to appear concerned about crime. They need to implement laws and policies that respond to the public's fear of crime. And sometimes they do that in a way that doesn't seem closely connected to effectiveness. So we pass laws to transfer a lot of young people into the criminal court system or the adult system. The research shows that that does not improve public safety. We do it because it sounds like something that should improve public safety, and the public usually supports it. So as crime starts to go back up, I suspect we'll start seeing more proposals to do things that provide a symbol of crime control, whether they work or not. And you always run the risk of making things worse.
Well, Dr. Jeffrey Butts is an expert in juvenile justice issues at the Chapin Hall Center for Children at the University of Chicago. Jeff, thanks a lot.
You're very welcome.